Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with the end of captivity as we pick up in Daniel chapter 9, verse 1. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
This time, let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Daniel chapter 9. In the beginning of chapter 9, we have a very keen insight to this man, Daniel. And we understand why God has declared of him that he was greatly loved by God. For Daniel greatly loved God and he loved the Word of God. And his obvious knowledge and love for the Word is revealed here in the 9th chapter. As he understands the plight of the nation Israel and the reason for their plight, he sees behind the issues that caused their being destroyed and now being captives in the Persian Empire, which has supplanted at this point the Babylonian Empire, but yet also, because he was a man of the Word and studied the Scriptures, he realized that the time of their captivity was about over. The first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made over the king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. So Daniel was reading the prophecy of Jeremiah. Now, you'll remember that Jeremiah was one of the last prophets in Judah prior to the Babylonian captivity. In fact, he was still prophesying when Nebuchadnezzar came. And Jeremiah, in his prophecy, was telling the people that God was going to give them into the hand of the king of Babylon, and the reason was they had forsaken God, and that they had forsaken the law of God and the commandments of God, and therefore they were going to be captives in Babylon for 70 years. And that particular prophecy was in Jeremiah chapter 25, verses 11 and 12. And there the Lord said, "And the whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon for 70 years. And it shall come to pass when the 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it perpetual desolations." So the Lord declared that inasmuch as they had been in the land from the time of Joshua 490 years, and under the law, God had told them that every seventh year they were to let the land rest. The land was to have its own Sabbath. Every seventh year they were not to plant it, but they were only to eat that which grew wild and so forth, and gather up in the sixth year. The Lord would give them such a abundant harvest in the sixth year, it would carry them through the seventh. The people did not obey this law of God. They did not give the land rest, but they planted it every year. And so God said, "You've been in the land for 490 years. You've never given it its Sabbath. It's got 70 years coming. So I'm going to kick you out of the land for 70 years so that it can have its Sabbaths. And then after 70 years, you can come back into the land." So the 70 years of captivity prophesied by Jeremiah are about over. Daniel realizes this. He's been reading the prophecy of Jeremiah. He realizes that the time of the captivity is about over. And so he set himself, his face unto the Lord, to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. So he set himself aside for a period of intensive prayer and waiting upon God and seeking God for the nation. Now the prayer of Daniel is remarkable. And in it, he surely sets forth the clear understanding that he has of the ways and the purposes of God. And it is interesting that he does not seek to condemn God at all for the calamities that have befallen the people, but he acknowledges that these things have happened unto us because we were guilty, we turned aside from you, we went our own wicked ways. Now, so many times people want to blame God for the judgments that fall upon them for their own wickedness. As we pointed out a week or so ago, God tells us not to do a particular thing. If you do it, God said you're going to hurt. So we do it, and then we get hurt, and then we say, oh, God, that isn't fair to hurt me. Well, God didn't hurt you. He just told you what would be the consequence of a particular action. Now, if you want to just defy God and go ahead and do it, then don't blame God for the fact that you got hurt. And yet, this is what people are so often doing. Now, Daniel did not have any of this recrimination against God, but acknowledged that everything that had happened to them because they were guilty before God. They had forsaken God. Notice, I prayed unto the Lord my God, made my confession, and said, O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy to them that love him, and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned. Now, Daniel isn't pointing the finger at others in a holier than thou kind of thing and said, God, they're horrible sinners. They did this. But he places himself, we have sinned, and identifies with God's people who had sinned against God. We as a nation have sinned. And surely as we pray, we need to acknowledge the sin of the nation. We as a nation have sinned against God. We've committed iniquity. We've done wickedly. We've rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and from your judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto your servants the prophets. Now, he had, of course, been reading Jeremiah, and he read how that when Jeremiah came and prophesied to them, they threw him in the dungeon. And he recognizes how that they so totally failed to listen to the warnings of God. We have not hearkened to your servants, the prophets, which spake in your name to our kings and our princes and our fathers and to all of the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces. Lord, you're all right, but we're the ones that are confused. As at this day, to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all of Israel that are near and that are far off, through all of the countries where you have driven them because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, unto us belongs the confusion of face, and to our kings and princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belongs mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. And neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. Yes, all of Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore, the curse is poured out upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. So he was familiar with the books of Moses and the law of God. He had been reading that. He says, God, we've transgressed, and now you've done those things that you said you would do in the law of Moses. And of course, the Lord in the law of Moses did declare that if they would turn away from God and seek other gods, that he would allow them to be driven out of the land and all. So Daniel recognizes that all of these things have happened to us because we are guilty. We have failed. You've confirmed your word, which you spake against us and against our judges that judged us by bringing upon us the great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done unto Jerusalem. Actually, no city has been so devastated as was Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. In spite of all of this, we didn't turn from our sins. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. Not charging God at all, accepting the responsibility and the guilt, a very important thing. Not crying out against God when the judgments have befallen us, but to acknowledge honestly, hey God, it's my fault. I am guilty. You are righteous. God is a God of judgment. But even in judgment, he is so right in his judgments. In the midst of the great tribulation, when God is pouring out his judgments upon the earth, there are voices that come from the throne of God declaring, holy and righteous and true are thy judgments, O Lord. There are a lot of people that are concerned about God not being fair. They say, but what about the poor people who have never heard about Jesus Christ? Is God going to damn them eternally and all? I don't know. I do know God is fair. I do know that God will be righteous in his judgment. And when God makes the disposition of those particular cases, God will be absolutely fair. And when he does that, I'll say, all right, I never thought of that. Man, that is so right on. Because God will be fair. Abraham challenged the Lord one day. He said, shall not the Lord of the earth be fair, be just? Lord, would you destroy the righteous with the wicked? But the whole issue was the righteousness of God in judgment. And yes, God will be righteous in his judgment. And now, O Lord our God, that thou hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and you've gotten renown as at this day. We have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all your righteousness, I beseech thee, let your anger and your fury be turned away from thy city, Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all of those that are round about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. Lord, not for our sake, but for your sake, for the Lord's sake, O God, shine thy face upon the sanctuary that is so desolate. O my God, incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes, and behold our desolations, and the city which is called by thy name, for we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies. God, I don't plead this because I'm such a holy guy, but just because you're so merciful, I'm asking you to do this. Fabulous prayer of Daniel. It does give to us a keen insight into the spiritual depth of this man. No wonder the Lord said, oh, Daniel, you greatly beloved of God. And then the final plea, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not. For thy own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. Lord, people call us by your name, and we're such a mess. God, here, do something for your name's sake, because these people are called by your name. Now, Daniel said, while I was speaking and praying, while he was in the midst of confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. Gabriel, one of the chief angels of God, named in Daniel, named also in the book of Luke as the angel that appeared to Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, and later appeared unto Mary, the mother of Jesus. Gabriel came, and he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give you skill and understanding. At the beginning of your supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. 70, and the word weeks there in Hebrew is just sevens. The translators translated it weeks because of 7 days in the week, but literally 77s are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Notice there are 77 year cycles that are determined upon the nation Israel, thy people, and upon the city of Jerusalem. And so this is a prophecy that relates to God's dealing with the nation of Israel. It will be accomplished in 77-year cycles. And in these 77s, the work of God will be fully established as far as the nation Israel is concerned. Because within the 77s, there will, first of all, be the finishing of the transgression, making an end of sins, and making reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, or to complete the vision and prophecies, and to anoint the most holy, and probably the most holy place, the new temple in the kingdom of God. So there are 77s in which all of the prophetic aspects of the nation Israel will be complete, during which time there will be reconciliation made for sins, for iniquities, finishing of the transgressions, making an end of sins, bringing in the everlasting kingdom of righteousness, and completing the whole prophetic scene. Now he divides these 77s. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince will be 7 sevens and 62 sevens. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. So there is to be, first of all, 7 sevens and 62 sevens from the time the commandment goes forth to restore and rebuild Jerusalem to the Messiah, the Prince. Daniel wrote this in the first year of Darius, the year 538 BC. About 95 years later, in the year 445 BC, the commandment was finally given by Artaxerxes to Nehemiah to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. Earlier, Ahasuerus and the other Persian kings had given commandments to Ezra to go back and to rebuild the temple. But this prophecy was to be from the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. Though the temple was rebuilt, the walls of the city were still torn down and the houses were still destroyed. And you remember that Nehemiah said, I was a cupbearer to the king. And the king said, how come you look so sad? And Nehemiah said, how can I be happy when the city that I love lies in ruins? And so the king gave commandment unto Nehemiah to take a contingent of people and to go back and to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. 445 BC, in fact, according to records that were found by Sir Rawlinson in the palace of Shushan, that order was given in March 14th, 445 BC. Now, it is an important date in history because, according to the promise here and the prophecy here, from the time that commandment goes forth to restore and rebuild Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, will be 7 sevens and 62 sevens, or 69 seven-year cycles, or 483 years. And so from the year March 14, 445 BC, according to the prediction here, the Messiah should have come in 483 years from the time of this commandment.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Daniel on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Daniel 9 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord bless you and keep His hand upon your life. And may He help you to walk in all righteousness and holiness. For He is Jehovah our God, and He is a holy God, and He wants His people to be a holy people. That the name of the Lord would not be blasphemed by my actions, but that people in seeing my good works will glorify our Father who is in heaven. God bless you. May the face of the Lord shine upon you and His love burn in your hearts all through the week. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
I'd like to tell you about a book written by Chuck Smith entitled Living Water. In this book, Pastor Chuck explains how God has the power to change your life through His Holy Spirit. This book will help you to understand how the Holy Spirit works in your life, covering such topics as who is the Holy Spirit? What does the Holy Spirit do? What are the gifts of the Spirit? And how should I respond? It's Pastor Chuck's desire that by God's grace and through this book, the Lord will develop in you a hunger and thirst for the things after the Spirit that will help you come into a deep and personal relationship with Him so that your life will be transformed. To find out more and to read a book preview, visit thewordfortoday.org and click on the link to download Living Water by Chuck Smith. Or if you would like to order this book in print, call The Word for Today at 800-272-WORD. That's 800-272-9673.